This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Sharp Money, VSiN, the sports betting network. I think you can still get plus money bottom two on the A's. White Sox lead 2-0, so maybe come back the other way on the Athletics. It has been way too long since we've seen our next guest. And a breath of fresh air when Mike Palm sits down. You know Mike, Circa, the D, Golden Gate Casino's VP of Ops. He's also a VSiN host. I want to let you know the Circa Football Preview Show is coming up. It's going to be hosted by Mike Palm in the Galaxy Ballroom. The guests are Willis McGahee. Hopefully, maybe he's got an ACL, maybe he doesn't. Jeff Erickson of RotoWire, Yahoo's Frank Schwab, and more. So again, we've got that special football show coming up. Mike Palm, how are you?
Well, welcome back to me and welcome back to you, Patrick. We kind of missed you came back on the first, which was a Thursday. So we kind of had the extended time away. But I'm glad you had a nice trip back home driving across the United States. I wondered if, you know, you would film it and maybe it could be a commercial, you know, see the USA in your Audi R8 or something like that. But we're glad to have you back.
Thank you. It's great. It's great. Now, were you joining the show while I was gone?
No, not at all.
Yeah, come on.
No.
It's the major leagues here, Mike. You and I, what are you going to sit with him and
was I going to debate Jared Lee Smith? Come on.
I don't think you could get a word in.
No. You know what I mean?
You going to sit down with Cerruto and Dustin? Listen, what a life. Circa Survivor, Circa Millions. I mentioned, let's quickly talk about that Circa Preview football show. That's a good lineup you've got at the Galaxy Ballroom.
You know what I'm proud of, Patrick and Dustin, is this is the sixth year I've never repeated a guest. So 24 different guests in the 6 years. Formulaically, usually it's a bookmaker. That's the fourth name you didn't mention, Jamie Pelleggi. He's one of our guys here at Circa, works in the risk room, specializes actually in football props and futures, but also books NFL games. And then a former player or coach or exec. And so we got through our director of operations, head of player development, Bill Cramsey, is a relationship with a lot of athletes, Willis McGahee. So I met him a couple times when he came to Circa. So we're happy to have him. And then, of course, you know, Jeff Erickson is co-founder of RotoWire and two-time sports writer of the year in the fantasy world, really sharp guy. And then Frank Schwab, he was a every Wednesday guest back in the nuts odds on days. So have a great relationship with Frank and the senior NFL writer for Yahoo. I always credit him with mentoring Pam Maldonado.
It's a cool event. It's a cool event. I went to it a couple years ago when Urlacher was in town. It was a fun time. I got comfy.
Shout out to Len Mead. Listen, like I said, what a time to be in Vegas because Bet Bash, certainly, and, you know, you might see Ryan Gosling there. A lot of good-looking peeps. Bet Bash at Circa. Let's just talk about how it's coordinated. Derek Stevens is ahead of the curve on everything, including, you know, kind of bringing bettors and a community in and hosting the event.
Yeah, he got together with Spanky. You know, Matt Metcalf had a big part of this marriage between Derek and Spanky several years ago, and Spanky wanted to bring this conference and build this Hall of Fame at Circa. And so it was not without cost. You know, it was a little more than $250,000 to build that there into the sports book. But, you know, I think it's a great thing, a great point of interest for people to come and see. And they've done it really well with the plaques. And there's a video board. You can push the person's name, and it gives you the video that played at their Hall of Fame induction, which is the crescendo of the event Friday night. I'll be emceeing that again. Two of our own from Circa are going in as part of the class of 10. Richie Bacciolari, many people know, was the founder of an owner of Stadium. Stevie the Pencil, longtime bookmaker. And then Nick Bogdanovich, who ran many sports books out here in Las Vegas, including William Hill for a long time. They're both going into the Hall of Fame this year as well. Now there's the meet and greet today over at the Galaxy Ballroom. It's speed dating is what it's called. So there's however many hundred of people. I remember I watched it last year. There were 106 people, four women. I did count. But you have
those poor women.
You have 2 minutes, and then you change partners, right? And you go up and down the line. It's a networking event. I know they did a golf outing. They had a poker tournament at Golden Nugget. They have these cocktail parties at the Overhang Bar last night and tonight. They've got instructional seminars tomorrow. And then Friday, they've got the panel discussions in the afternoon, and then the Hall of Fame banquet, 7 to 11.
Real quick.
I just want to say, are you going to dust off the tux?
Oh, yes.
Black tie affair. Wear the tux, right?
Yeah, of course. Black tie affair. Black tie affair. So.
Real quick, the Stevie the Pencil line didn't get past me, the book, The Smart Money. Yep. If you've never read a book about sports betting, Patrick suggested that one to me like 7 years ago. I actually was upset when it was over. It was such a good book. That is Richie in that book. And then secondly, Steve Fezzik is currently there at the speed dating event right now. Very popular.
Fezzik was on a panel last year. He was part of a panel. Jeff Benson was also part of a panel last year. I did want to say, so there's about a 2-minute video that plays, and then someone has a presenter that comes up and gives a little induction speech, and then the inductee comes up. Now, it's always a formula, 5 living, 5 passed on. But it'll be kind of a little bit like old home week here for VSiN, because inducting Richie Baccalieri, giving his induction speech, is none other than Vinny Maiulo. Is it still VSiN Vinny, the moniker on Twitter? I'm not sure.
Well, I think that's a little dicey.
I'm not sure.
Hey, speaking of which,
Vinny by the book.
Vinny by the book.
Oh, that's Vinny Barbarino.
Hey, we should talk about this, because as somebody that's been a part of VSiN since its inception, you, Mike Palm, we're branding this VSiN 3.0. We've turned a new chapter here at the company. And I'm not even being facetious. This is a very exciting time. Musburger Media has repurchased VSiN, so we're going back to where we started, which I think is super exciting. And just a couple of notes, Bill AD, one of the fearless leaders here, he bought back VSiN, and then 10 minutes later, he hopped on the private jet with Derek Stevens and went to Oakland. So nothing to take care of back here. Did you get on the plane and go up to Oakland to see the tying 21 straight AL losses?
Well, Derek really wanted to go to see the Coliseum before they no longer use it or implode it or whatever is going to happen. I did get an invitation. It didn't work into my schedule. But, yes, Bill Ady, Saturday night he was at Legacy till all hours of the night at the Gatsby party. Monday he's jetting off to Northern California. Yep, and we wait on a schedule. But whatever.
Here's the thing about Ady. He somehow, I don't know if it's through assimilation, but Derek Stevens' constitution has passed along to Ady. Because he was kind of a low-key dude back in the day. He now is nonstop. He's up at Legacy Club. He's on the PJ. This has been a transformation of Mr. Ady. He's getting married. It's a whole thing.
Went from an employee to an owner. He moved out of the hotels and bought his own mansion. It's quite a story, this guy that was, a famous sports editor back in Chicago in the day. That'd be a great one.
I'm not saying that he's...
guess my line. Nobody would get that.
I'm not saying 80's rich, but I think Wayne Newton's living in his guest house right now. So you could do the math. Wow. What a time. Yeah, it's nice to be back. It's good to see you. Are you a fan of this? Now, you've been used to it. You've been there forever. But I'm guessing it's close to 110 degrees there today. You were sweating when you sat down. Are you a fan of the extreme heat these 3 months?
And by 110, you mean at Bar Canada. Patrick, you're
he's taking shots at his own place.
You're living in an air-conditioned place there in Bel Air. I mean, the humidity here. We did a video poker tournament 2 weekends ago. Every round, we had to come and try to get the buttons unstuck.
No, there's a pressure system somehow upstairs where it's cold there. It's cold there. It's cold in that room. And this section where we sit is 200 degrees.
The focus was take care of the producers and the APs is what we were told. So get the control room and the hosts can figure it out for themselves. Now, you play that split role and you're kind of, left out to
not
bake.
For long.
Guaranteed to be 68 if Pamela was there. Listen, you back in the day spent some time over at the Borgata. We have a special guest coming up. Now, you never cross paths, but you have become friends with Thomas Gable, who runs the race and sports book at the Borgata. He's in town, and he's going to be sitting in to co-judge Palm versus the big guy here.
It's interesting. What are the rules here now? Is if you disagree with Thomas Gable, have the ground rules been laid out?
Haven't really sussed that out. Now, that's that big guy to your left, that's generally his job. Let's see if he has an answer.
Well, you and I were both judges when there was another competitor in this contest, and we had
added up our
tallies.
But
that was just always a clean sweep. So it
It was actually very easy to be a judge in that contest.
Sausage and pepperoni.
That is way off for a vegetarian. It makes sense. Listen. So, Dustin, how should we handle the judging? I'm trying to think about this now.
I think you add up your yeses and nos. He adds up his yeses and nos.
Oh, it's a point system.
And then you combine them.
A point system.
I think that makes sense. Yeah.
Because you can balance each other out if he like. Because I know Thomas usually sides with me, but you side with Mike because you're a biased person. So I think that could help balance things out. And then the key will be winning on those edges and the margins.
Okay. I will quickly tell you that it's a bit of a runaway right now. I've got the records here. Mike Palm leads 10-5-2. So, Dustin, as we turn the page here at VSiN, maybe turn the page on your luck in Palm versus the big guy?
I just think Thomas Gable helps add to it because you're just not that good at being the judge. You're great at coming up with questions. You're great at presenting them. You're great at reacting to them. But I think you are...
Don't kiss my ass and take a shot at me at the same
you
time.
You are a biased person in your judgment. You're very biased. Everyone knows
it. I understand.
It.
I understand what's happening. Mike, are you hosting this weekend?
I think I'm with Ben Wilson on Friday on Lombardi Line. Stormy's on that extended vacation, and I think when she gets back, she works like 5 months without a day off. And I'm not sure if Femi's back on Saturday for Lombardi Line 7-9. It might be a double dose of Ben Wilson again. I'll have plenty of coffee.
The
ready.
Schedule's a grind.
Oh, it's
get some caffeine. All right, so this is an exciting time because we've got Palm versus the big guy coming up with guest judge, bookmaker, lead bookmaker. He runs the race and sports book at the Borgata. Good friend of the network and the show and all of us, Thomas Gable, is going to be sitting in next. It is Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
No time to waste. We'll have a conversation with the race and sportsbook director Thomas Gable from the Borgata in the next segment. Right now, it's time for Palm versus the big guy, Mike Palm, Dustin Sweetelson. 30-second shot clock. The coin toss went to Dustin Sweetelson. He trails 10-5-2 to Mike Palm. Dustin, you're first up. For this year, what quarterbacks do you take before Dak Prescott to start your team?
So I went through everyone starting this season. I have 12 quarterbacks I would take before Dak Prescott. Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, Lamar, Stroud, Herbert, Stafford, Rodgers, Love, Tua, Hurts, and Cousins. I stopped at Jared Goff. A lot of people think you would take Jared Goff. This is the difference maker. Goff has been schemed up by two geniuses now, Ben Johnson and Sean McVay. Dak essentially has had to coach himself every single year in the NFL.
Okay, I have 9. I had no Tua, no Cousins, and I do have Goff. Mahomes, Jackson, Allen, Burrow, Stroud, Rodgers, Goff, Stafford, Hurts. To me, Dak is a front runner. You put him out in front in a game, he's a great quarterback. Anytime they have to come from behind or in a pressure situation, he hasn't done it. So I put quarterbacks that have won, have been to championship games, have won playoff games, or have won Super Bowls on that list.
Mike Palm, the NFL is constantly adjusting new kickoff rule. You're the commissioner today. What's the first rule you add or change?
I would eliminate the automatic first down from illegal contact. Let it be a 5-yard penalty and play the down again. It's too punitive. I thought about the 15 yards like college for pass interference, but then I think you'd have a lot of takedowns deep down the field. I think illegal contact is so subjective that it shouldn't carry the tag.
The UFL had a great rule, and it helps mitigate the fact that the NFL has killed the onside kick. After you score, you can get the ball back instead of trying to onside kick. You start at your own 28, but it's a 4th-and-12 scenario. You do that, late comebacks are now possible. Teams can also start their comebacks earlier than just late in the fourth quarter.
Dustin Sweetelson, Summer Olympics or Winter Olympics?
Well, it's interesting because I call the Winter Olympics the Winter Olympics, and I just call the Summer Olympics the Olympics. I think that's the point. Anyone who's true to the Olympics knows that that is the OG, created in 1896 in Athens, Greece. Had to remember that one. Oof. Winter only has 15 sports. Summer has like 30+. And I don't like that Olympic hockey actually disrupts the NHL season. That matters more.
I agree with Dustin. It's the summer. Look, just look at the stories of the track and field here with the American athletes, both on the men and the women's side. Tremendous racing, tremendous betting opportunities. You have the basketball in the summer. You have the soccer in the summer. And really, in the winter, what do you have? You're still worried about the East German judge and the figure skating, right? I mean, the highlights are all summer.
Mike Palm, the White Sox are all-time bad. In your lifetime, what's the best baseball team you've ever seen?
The 88 through 90 Oakland A's is the best team I ever saw. They averaged 102 wins per year. They swept the World Series, outscoring the Giants 32-14. Got beat in the two other World Series, advanced to all three, dominated the American League. In the MVP race in those 3 years, Canseco won it in 88, Henderson won it in 90, and Eckersley was never lower than sixth. And in the Cy Young race, Welsh won it in 90. Stewart was never lower than fourth, and Eck never lower than fifth. Best team all time.
The obvious answer that people want to say is the 98 Yankees, but I actually look to their rivals, the 04 Red Sox. Key component, did you win a title? Yes. Did you overcome obstacles? They were down 0-4 in the ALCS and broke the curse of the Bambino. What was your pitching like? Well, they had two aces in Pedro and Schilling. Do you have a lockdown closer? Keith Foulk was dominant, 32 saves. Were you clutch? Big Poppy, Johnny Damon, Manny Ramirez, anyone? Were you aggressive? They traded Nomar Garciaparra, a leader, for Orlando Cabrera, put them over the top. And then finally, did you have personality and flair? Add Kevin Millar, Manny being Manny, and David Ortiz talking smack. This team had everything you want from an elite
Time.
Team.
Dustin, three people dead or alive, you can invite them to dinner. Who are they?
Yeah, so this is like my favorite question you've ever asked, because obviously the first one is Franklin Delano Roosevelt. You look at what he accomplished in his career, beat the Great Depression, unlike me and my therapist every Friday. Led us in our Second World War victory, elected to four terms. I'm jealous so many people liked him. Second would be Jesus, not my guy, I'm a Jew, but I'd like to find out if his stories were true. Then finally, Al Snyder. Who's Al Snyder? My varsity baseball coach. I want to find out why he didn't start me until halfway through my senior season.
I have a similar list, in that I have Jesus, obviously the foundation of our whole moral code. I didn't go with the Roosevelt that ran the country, Eleanor. I went with Ronald Reagan, who didn't beat the Depression, but he beat the gas rationing, got the hostages out, and beat the evil empire. And then I had to choose an athlete, so I went from the Louisville Lip, Muhammad Ali, who I think is one of the most charismatic people in history, and would be great to have a conversation with where he's still alive.
No politics, but he left out the Iran-Contra, but we digress. Mike Palm. You get to pick one band to see at the Sphere. You pick.
That's very difficult. Great question. I'm going to take Pink. I think Pink, because of the visual performance she gives with all her aerial stunts set against what they can do digitally with that background, plus the catalog, she could play 12 concerts. It would never repeat a song, and you'd know every one of them.
Underrated aspect of the Sphere that people don't hype up. The videos are phenomenal. But apparently the acoustics are the best in the world. And there's an artist out there that I don't really understand the hype about. I think he's good. People act like he's the greatest of all time. But I'm told the only way I'll appreciate him is to see him in person. So since I'm a harder sell, since the setup is better, since the acoustics will be the best there are, I would go see Bruce Springsteen, because it could perhaps change my entire opinion of him.
Okay. Dustin, date night. Are you making a reservation, making it formal? Or go up to the bar, keep it casual.
All right. So I think there are some people who can just wing it and just go with the flow and let the night happen. I own mirrors in my home. I can see how I look. I cannot afford to be one of those people. My life is a mess. That's going to become clear by date two or three. I at least for the first date have to seem like I have control of a situation and willing to be the man, because I will give up the pants at some point in this relationship. I have to make a res for someone I'm courting.
Reservation is the answer, Patrick, because when dealing with women, I think you want to eliminate variables. Any variable from the plan normally will be blamed on you, either because of your lack of planning, your lack of forethought, your lack of taking into her consideration what she wanted to do. But if you don't, why don't you ever pick the place? Just try to get everything as much as you can to hoil, and things won't go wrong.
Great answer. Mike Palm, Cowboys win total is set at 10.5 this year. The Bengals win total is set at 10.5 this year. Life on the line, which one gets to 11 plus?
Well, I'm going with the Bengals. That's the team that I bet to win their division and win the Super Bowl. I think they have a lot of things working in their favor. They have a fourth place schedule, even though they had a winning record. You get a healthy Burrow. I thought the best game played by any team last year was at San Francisco when they dominated the 49ers in that game. And then I think there's flaws in all the other teams in their division, although it's a tough division. Baltimore loses their coordinator and a lot of players. A bad way to lose the season. The kicker's going bad. I don't believe in any quarterback in Cleveland, and Pittsburgh's schedule is just unbelievably brutal down the stretch.
Time.
It's the Bengals. There's too many distractions in Dallas with the contracts, too much drama. Dallas's first place schedule at Cleveland, Baltimore, Detroit, at San Fran, at Atlanta versus Houston. And then we look at the coaching matchup. Zach Taylor did more coaching last year with Browning at quarterback than Mike McCarthy's done in 10 years. Joe Burrow's ceiling is higher than Dak's, therefore it has to be Cincinnati.
Okay, we are done. Now, Thomas Gable, I see you sweating a little bit because when the live bullets are flying, it's a little harder than you thought. So let's go through your grades.
Okay.
Let's go.
All right. So the quarterback question, Mike Palm, again, I tried to be prepared here, Patrick, because that's why I asked for the questions in advance. So thank you for sending them over 5 minutes before showtime. So it was my answers were actually very close to Mike Palm. So I give that to Mike Palm. The NFL rule change was a push. I give the sphere question to Dustin for Springsteen. The dinner I give to Mike Palm. Summer Olympics, Palm. Bengals was a push. The baseball team, A's, that was one of my answers that I had written down. Mike Palm, and the reservation would be due to the variable being blamed on you. I mean, that gives that also to Mike Palm. So.
And so you add it up, and what's the score?
Well, I can tell you Dustin got one and a couple pushes, and the rest went to Mike, so it was a...
Oh, my gosh. This is sweet. Now, I'll give my answer. Dak was a push. NFL changes goes to Mike Palm. The Olympics, I had it as a push. Baseball, I love Dustin's answer about the Red Sox. He gets it. Dead or alive, I love Dustin's answer. He got that one. The Sphere, Springsteen, Dustin got that one. Date night, best answer of the program goes to Mike Palm. And the Bengals were a push. And an odd occurrence, I've got 3-2, Dustin Sweetelson.
Wow, okay.
So we will have to come back and find out exactly who won. But Thomas Gable had Mike Palm winning, and I had Dustin Sweetelson.
Thoughts? I'm 4-5-1, so I overcome the 1 point advantage with the points.
We'll add these up on the break.
Well, I don't think it was a clean sweep from Gable, who cried to me for weeks that Dustin won every week, and he came in and he said Dustin didn't pick up a point.
Not a clean
sweep.
That's
a shocker.
Not a clean sweep. Dustin, I did give to the Sphere.
Okay, Gable's going to stick around. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, I am fired up for this segment as we welcome you back. Sharp Money, VSIN, the sports betting network. Just quickly, the White Sox do lead the A's, big guy, 2-0, top of four. So we did come back plus money on the A's the other way. Still a long way to go, though the White Sox do have runners on the corners with two outs, so not great. But let me just set this up properly. So Thomas Gable, I would consider him a good friend. We've never met, but we started working together 5+ years ago on the Lombardi line. Thomas Gable runs the race and sports book at the Borgata. It is the finest property on the East Coast. Thomas, you weren't here when I was talking about it. You know, whether you're picking up a girl, picking up a guy, having a great dinner, going to a show, going to place a sports bet, that you have a wonderful race book at the Borgata. It's just the premier location, of course, BetMGM, inside there at the book. So we've been working together for a very long time, and this is the first time, I guess, it's a formal introduction, because usually you're on your phone, but it's nice to see you as you travel in from Jersey to Vegas.
Yeah, it's, you know... Obviously, I've been in person with you when Michael was doing the shows from Borgata, right? But first time in person on Sharp Money. First time I'm getting to meet Dustin here in person as well. So that was good and always nice to be next to the Jonas Salk of sports betting, as he's been referred to on this network. Don't ask me why, but that's what somebody has called Mike Palm in the past. Not quite sure how we go from curing polio to sports betting, but I don't know.
Here's the thing. Let me just say this about you quickly, because you're the most modest human ever. I would say amongst my friends, I come to you first when it comes to college basketball. But there is, I guess, a stigma associated. Dustin, and you and I can talk about this because Thomas will get embarrassed. There is a stigma associated with sports betting. And I think it's starting to change with the proliferation of legalized sports wagering. But Thomas is a bookmaker. And to be a bookmaker, it's long hours. You're constantly grinding. There's never an off season. He literally just took a week to go see his parents. That's about it. And back to the grind. But also, you're dealing with sharp bettors. You're dealing with square, common bettors. And there's just a lot to handle. And Dustin, I would say the kindest and most congenial person in the business is the man that runs the race and sports book at the Borgata. Would you agree?
I agree. And out of the kindness of his heart, he can't bet him. He says, hey, these numbers I think are a little bit off. You guys should take a look into them. And I think that's a very sweet thing for a friend to do.
Thomas, would you like to react to us kissing your ass?
No, we can move on. But thank you.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah,
now,
I don't want to.
So let's get to this.
Happened.
Yeah, let's get to this. So we've been doing Palm versus the big guy for a while. And here's what happens. Thomas is not just, a regular partner of VSiN, but he's a listener as well. And he'll be listening sometimes, and I'll be doing the judging, and he'll say, Patrick, no offense, but I had the big guy winning that one. And then a week later, Patrick, no offense, but I judged it out. The big guy squeaked by Palm in that one.
Yep.
You just sat down, and we're going to go through these. You just sat down and basically gave every one of the answers to Mike Palm.
It was, listen, I had very high hopes coming in here today for Dustin. Very high hopes. I thought the layoff was going to work to his benefit here. I was a little bit surprised at how I graded this
I
today.
I was awesome. I think some of the questions, there was an age bias. First
that,
of all,
that could be.
Mike Palm
that,
also got a point for a question where he didn't answer the question. It was, what was the best team you've ever seen? You got to give 1 year. He gave like 4 years, a four-year run.
Well, can
Come
I
on.
Just say this, Dustin? Can I say this? I know you better than you know yourself. I literally thought that was your best performance.
I thought
yet.
So, too. I thought I nailed
well,
it.
Yeah. You were flying.
This was the first time if I wasn't here, I mean, this would have been the first time you had given something to him in a long time, right?
That's true. Thomas took away a win.
So, wait. Yeah. Here's what I want to do. I want to go through these questions mm-hmm. and ask you, Mr. Gable, because you gave me a little lip and said I sent them over 5 minutes before. So let's put you on the spot and see how you do.
Oh, that's okay? Why he's holding it against me, because I didn't email it to him. That's why.
So we can go through these. So let's we'll start at the quarterbacks. And I kind of did go through these myself in preparation, just because I wanted to see the answers that they were going to give compared to mine. And Mike's quarterback list was almost the exact same as mine on the quarterback one. I think, Dustin, you had one more
question,
on that, correct?
I think I had Tua, and you guys probably didn't have
Tua. Yeah, you had
Tua.
I did not have Tua. And who else did you have? Somebody else probably.
Cousins. He had Kirk Cousins. I don't know.
I had Cousins. I did have Cousins. Yeah, I did have Cousins on
Hurts.
Okay, so the question was about Dak Prescott. Let me just frame this, because Dak Prescott's in the news, so I thought a clever way to ask it, because whether or not he's going to get extended, would say, okay, let's be realistic. How many quarterbacks do you take before him? And so you're saying your number was what, Dustin?
I had 12 ahead of him. He was 13 for me.
Okay. And Thomas, he's adding it up.
I had close to 12. Love was questionable, so probably 11.
Okay. So you gave that to Mike Palm. The next question, and I'll throw it to you, Thomas. Mm-hmm. The NFL is constantly adjusting. The new kickoff rule, what rule would you change or add? You gave that to Palm. What would your answer
be? I did not. That was a push. That was a push. I graded as a push.
Okay.
So
that was a push.
No, nothing there.
Next one, Summer Olympics or Winter Olympics? They both answered Summer Olympics, Thomas.
Which was the correct answer. And maybe this was not accurate for me to do, but I held it against Dustin slightly, where he hesitated to name Greece, that Athens
was
in Greece.
That
so
was rough.
I did penalize him slightly, and that's actually probably where I gave it to Palm, the slight edge, because he
hesitated a little bit. I'll tell you what, the line I loved from Dustin, there's the Winter Olympics, and there's
the Olympics. Yes.
Yeah, that was a great line.
That was a good line.
I love that.
That was a good line.
Baseball. I said, look, the White Sox are all-time bad. In your lifetime, what's the best baseball team you've ever seen? Palm gave a five-year window for the A's.
He gave three.
Dustin said the 04 Red Sox. Yeah. I gave it to Dustin because his breakdown, I thought, was exquisite.
Gave the breakdown. So the A's were one of the teams I had written down there, that A's team, and through those years. And I would have also accepted the back-to-back World Series for the Reds.
Yeah, I wasn't born.
But the 04 Red Sox, the answer was good. I just did not think it was the correct answer. That's all.
But you also have to judge on flair.
Okay.
That's the key.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I understand
that. So the next one was dead or alive. Dustin saying that he's a Jew talking to Jesus. And then, I don't know. I gave that one to Dustin. I'm a New Deal guy, not saying politics. Oh, I like that.
For me, it came down to Al Snyder against Muhammad Ali. That's really what it came down to.
Yeah, I hit 292.
Dustin's high school baseball coach or Muhammad Ali.
I hit 292. We would have won sections if I started the whole year. That's all I'm saying.
Now, next up, me be the worst answer in the history of the program. I asked, you get to pick one band to see at the Sphere.
Oh, yes.
Now, the Sphere is not just about audio. It's about visual. Mike Palm said Pink.
Oh, yeah. That,
Thomas Gable.
He automatically lost that.
As soon as he named Pink,
that was it. Dustin could have named anybody else, and I would have given it to him. Springsteen won it for him.
Date Night, got to admit, I did give this to Palm with the variables and talk. Like, I just thought his layout was better. Did you agree, TG?
Yes, I agree with that one. Yes.
It's a tough one for me to answer because women generally don't let me take them on dates, for being fair.
I did think it was funny when you said, eventually I'm going to give over all the power. That's why I take the power on the first one by setting up
Didn't he originally say, I'm going to give up the pants? Wasn't that also
I didn't mean in that way. I don't live in the gutter, TG.
See, as we're going through these, Dustin, just between you and I think I might have shortchanged you.
We can flip Thomas's perspective. Instead of does he agree or disagree, it's how it's laid out and presented.
Next one, and then we'll finish. I didn't love the question, Cowboys 10.5, Bengals 10.5. I knew they were both going to go Bengals, Thomas, so they both went Bengals. I didn't really have a lean there.
That was a push for me as well. Yep, that was a push for me.
Okay. Dustin, so I guess Palm wins based on the inordinate amount given by TG. But just so you know, I had you winning.
You had my back for once. One time in my life, you finally had my back. I've been waiting for it for like 7 years.
Well, listen, maybe this is the start of something new here on this show. And so moving forward, maybe we make Dustin the favorite now moving forward every week. So
I know you're a busy man. Can you do one segment with us about actual sports coming up, and then we'll let you go?
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
Thomas Gable, he runs the race. It's great to have a real live bookmaker at the studio there at the D. Thomas Gable runs the race and sports book at the Borgata. I'm trying to think of when the Borgata – I feel like the Borgata opened around like 07. Is that fair?
03, Patrick, 03. And the only reason I know that because I was there during development of the property. So I've been there for...
You've been there for 21 years.
Over 21 years. Wow. Now, over 21. Yeah, we opened July 2nd, 2003, and I was there since March 1st of that year. So, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Tremendous. I was living in New York City at the time, and we would... Yeah. That was the hot place to go,
I'm
saying.
Yeah.
Like the Borgata, whether you wanted to pick up somebody, you wanted to go get a nice dinner, you wanted to go see a show. And now, the fact that there's a sports book there, I would never have left. He's not leaving. He's sticking with us. Bookmaker Thomas Gable, next here, Sharp Money.
Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, Sharp Money, as we welcome you back here on VSiN, the sports betting network, and I am chuckling because we were heavy on the A's today. Of course, the Sox snapped that 21-game losing streak last night at plus 195. And the reason Dustin and I were heavily on the A's is because Mr. Martin stinks. Yeah, through four, he's got a no-hitter. So that's not going great for us. I will say this, Dustin. The Yankees, top of two, lead 2-0 over the Angels, and Heel struck out the side in the top of the first. So if you get the win and you get more than six Ks, you pick up your dub. And if I get more than 6.5 strikeouts, striking out the first three batters, pretty good. So I got 6.5 plus money on Heel on his K prop there.
Yeah, we're pacing properly. It's a big thing in baseball. Feel a lot better there than hoping that the A's are going to string together five hits so I can go over my hits against Davis Martin for the White Sox right now.
Okay, Thomas Gable is here. He's in town for a couple of days. He runs the Race and Sports Book over at the Borgata in Atlantic City, of course, a BetMGM property. I want to ask you a bunch, but we'll start here. Dustin was talking to you about booking the Olympics during the break. And how has that been going as far as the handle there at the Borgata?
The handle's been good depending on the sport. So it's really comes down to the sports that the customers are familiar with names that are in the event. So basketball, soccer, tennis, the handle was tremendous for Olympic tennis. Golf, the golf was essentially what you would write for a normal PGA Tour event throughout the season. Matchups, overall winner. So those sports, those four sports, were very good handle. Obviously, basketball is still going on, but the other sports that we're taking, i.e., track and field, whether it's the sprinting or swimming, water polo, beach volleyball, it's the write is minimal because the customers really just aren't familiar with the athletes that are competing in these events. So it's more or less sometimes you'll see, a random U.S. sprinter thrown into a parlay, but the write overall for those sports is minimal. It's really the sports that and the athletes that the customers are familiar with.
But it does add a little juice, right? I mean, got a nice baseball handle at the Borgata, but it's added a little juice to this. I'll call it a dead month.
Yeah, and it's good because even when if there's no day baseball, again on the East Coast, out here, you always seem to have day baseball on the West Coast, but on the East Coast, there are times where we don't get a game until like 6:30 at night. So it's nice to have the Olympics on and available for people throughout the day.
Let's give a little background because Jersey was kind of the epicenter for the legalization of sports betting. For those that don't know, Chris Christie was the one that was aggressive about getting past PASPA. Maybe I'm mixing that up a little bit, but mentioned you had been working at the Borgata since 2003, so 21 plus years, and you launched the BetMGM Sportsbook at the Borgata. What year was that?
Well, this was all prior to BetMGM even forming. So we really launched it ourselves, and then this was 2018. That was when sports betting went live in New Jersey. So we actually took the first sports bet in Atlantic City, the first legal sports bet in Atlantic City. Believe me, there were plenty of illegal sports bets going on in that town for many, many years. But we took the first one in the Race and Sports Book. So it was really a combination. You named Chris Christie. He was the governor at the time. And, he was the one who basically said, all right, we're going to take this and as a legal fight to the Supreme Court. And once he was on board, and kind of lined up the legal team to do this, then obviously it kind of, once New Jersey won it, then it was any state could legalize it. So New Jersey going and challenging the leagues, which for years, let's be clear, the NBA, the NFL, Major League Baseball, the NCAA, they all were dead opposed to any sort of spread of legalization for sports betting across the country. And so it took that lawsuit to the Supreme Court and then them ruling PASPA unconstitutional. And that's when we went live. The New Jersey voters obviously had legalized it prior to that, but you couldn't do anything until that Supreme Court ruling. And then we moved pretty quickly. We were able to move quickly at Borgata because we had a race book
since 2003. So we had the infrastructure already built there, and it was really just a matter of getting our staff trained on sports betting and writing tickets and, you know, being part of MGM Resorts. We were able to lean on them because they obviously have had a long tradition out here in Las Vegas. So we had a lot of resources out here in Las Vegas that we could use, and that's really what enabled us to kind of go first there in town.
Well, there's some synergy here because Thomas Gable, who runs the Race and Sportsbook and launched it at the Borgata, you were kind of the originator. It's the state that started to fight against PASPA. Your book was the first to take a legalized bet. And I kind of use VSiN as a comparison because VSiN was the first to do what it does as a broadcast entity. Yep. And Brian Musburger, Michelle Musburger, Brian's father, Brent Musburger, Bill AD, they had the idea to start this. And it's like we're in such an infancy phase and stage that it just continues to get bigger and bigger. And the reason I bring that up is because in 18, when you started, it feels like every football season I say, are you going to have a record handle? And you just kind of chuckle and go, oh, yeah. Because this year, guess what? College football and the NFL, you're going to have a record handle as well. Because this thing is a rocket ship.
It's pretty incredible because, you know, obviously, as you said, we've been doing it since 2018. And the handle keeps increasing every year. But even out here, they've been booking for decades. And the handle continues to grow in this market as well every year for football. So it's pretty amazing as more and more people continue to become involved in it, whether it's, you know, and let's face it, most of the business is on mobile now, no matter what state you're in. Most of it is everybody's walking around with a sports book in their pocket, really, on their cell phone. So it's extremely easy to make a bet. And, you know, I think just the fact that it is so common now in people's lives, that's really what helps Las Vegas and helps us in Atlantic City. Because if you're going to one of those towns, typically as a destination, you're going there to gamble. You're going there to bet. And people are just more comfortable now doing that because maybe they live in Kentucky or, you know, they live in Pennsylvania or Maryland or wherever. And they're walking around and betting mobily, and hey, now they're in town and they're going to use the sports book at the hotel that they're staying at.
Well, the mobile betting is a game changer. Thomas, you and I are close to the same age. That's not how we used to get down with our local.
No.
Kids don't know.
No, it was much different back in the day. And so a lot of things have changed since you and I started getting into this space. I think it's all for the good. I think, you know, certainly there's been some hiccups and, you know, you're seeing some questionable things by operators out there now. Obviously, you know, there's one operator who announced a surcharge, so to speak, on winning bets this week. That was very controversial. So, you know, I think the industry as a whole, there's going to be hiccups, as there is in any growing and newer industry. But I think getting this into the light and where things can be seen that, you know, and listen, there's going to be scandals and so forth, and we've seen that. And I don't think you can blame the proliferation of sports betting on that, because those types of things could have happened at any point, and it just wouldn't have been known in the past. It would have been, nobody would have known about it. Now, at least it's coming out and coming to the forefront, and, you know, the proper people can take action with it.
Well, no, you said it perfectly. Bring it into the light, because while bringing things into the light, it's called regulation. Mm-hmm. And with the proliferation comes more regulation. I just want to say, as an aside, the surcharge, that's not going to work. That's just my opinion. I'm charging 13, you know, from $1.10 on Vigorous or tax to, you know, $13.50 or whatever it is, $13.10. My assumption, Thomas, I'm not going to get you in trouble, but I don't think that lasts.
I would certainly hope not from a customer standpoint. Not a good thing for them. And maybe from an investor standpoint, if you're an investor in that company, maybe it's a good thing. But from a customer standpoint, it is not.
Sorry, I didn't mean to put you in that spot. No. You're not going to get charged extra Vigorous at the Borgata. So stop by and say hi, too. And he's a celebrity now. You know, 5+ years on VSiN. All the selfies and the autographs you're giving over there at the Borgata. It's incredible, Thomas.
Well, thank you for having me.
Look at, he's so humble.
Thank you for having me, gentlemen. It's been a pleasure here to sit with Dustin for a few segments.
And we look forward to talking to you throughout the football season as well. He's Thomas Gable, Race and Sportsbook Director at the Borgata.